Ready to dive in? Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Every episode, we explore, expand, and evolve our understanding of the truths we encounter and experience in our human quest for clarity and exponential growth. And now welcome your hosts, Dr. Jeffrey Smith and Jim Case. Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. And 3, 2, 1, and you're on.
I'm on, like we're started right now?
Like right now.
Well, hello, everyone. Dr. Jeff here. Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. And Jim, how are you today?
Jeffrey, I am good, thank you. How are you?
Oh, man, just words. Yeah, words would be too small to try to answer the question, but as a platitude, I'm doing fine. I'm great. Just an amazing time of year here in Southern California. Well, really, probably in most of America, the cold weather hasn't really set in yet. So
You
have that mentality of the harvest, kind of the harvest time of year. So people anticipating holidays coming and, you know, a more of a connected time approaching. So yeah, we're just a great time right now. You know, it's Friday afternoon, the work week's done. So time to have fun here in our deep dive into Adventures in Truth.
Right on.
Yeah.
We had snow yesterday.
Oh, okay.
8 inches of snow yesterday, and it's 60 degrees today.
Wow. Nice.
We had the first snow was a week ago or a little over a week ago, and it came with that deep freeze. So it really messed up our fall because it killed everything. The deep freeze killed off the color.
Yeah.
So everything was, I mean, in the mountains and stuff, that happened a couple of weeks ago. But here on the plains, especially in the Denver area, the colors changed to quite muted and kind of brown tinged. So It's kind of an interesting fall because it adds an interesting kind of change to the process because the colors weren't as vibrant, but they were still there. But you could see that deep freeze really affected everything, You know, and then of course to have snow after that. So
interesting.
Snow is beautiful and looks great. And yeah, it's a good time of year.
So for those listening, just prior to us coming on live or recording it, we had talked about the subject of increasing vibration as our topic for today. Previously, we've talked about changing state. We've done several episodes on that, and we make reference to it many times in quite a few of the different podcasts. Mm-hmm. But raising or changing vibration would be going beyond simply changing state. Do you have any thoughts about distinguishing between those two terms before I keep going any farther, Jim?
No. I'm trying to think. I don't know that I see them as different.
All right. Well, let me talk a bit more then, and maybe that'll come clear, and we'll come back.
To me, shifting state is changing your vibration. You can't shift state without changing your vibration.
Yeah. So the way I was thinking about it would be if a person is living a life, and let's just put some numbers here just for sake of being able to conceive the thought process here. Let's say that I think in some of David Hawkins' work, when he was doing the Power versus Force book, he created a scale from 0 to 1,000. Then he used muscle testing. That's, you know, he was one of the pioneers I'm sure it's been around longer than he was here, but he's the one that really kind of brought it to the forefront. And he put a numerical value on where people are in their vibration The music that we listen to has a certain vibration. What we read, everything has a vibration, and we're in tune with that. We entrain, and we, you know, if you strike a piano wire, the one next to it will start vibrating also. You strum a guitar on one string, the other one will start vibrating as well. So, you know, we are affected by what's going on around us, as well as we affect what's going on around us as well. But in some of Hawkins' work, he described most people living at a frequency below 200 on his scale between 0 and 1,000. And he put people like Gandhi and Krishna and Jesus and the Buddha, those would be in the 800 to 900 to 1,000 range as far as they're living their lives at that frequency. So where he's saying most people on the planet are at 200 and below, there are some operating at the 300 range, some at the 400 range, but the percentages are small. And it's kind of an average. When I'm talking about changing your vibration, I'm talking about like bumping your life up a level. That if you were previously, say your average was 175, which meant your low might be 150 and your high might be 200. If you bump yourself up a level, now you might be at, you know, your low might be 175 and your high might be 225. So your average would be 200, something like that. To me, state would be within the range that you're living. Like if you have a plus or minus 50 units of vibration, some days your state would be closer to the high end of your range, and some days your state would be closer to the low end of your range. But what I'm talking about increasing your vibration is you're bumping up your overall average, and your life now is going to be lived at a higher vibration more often. You'll still have high days and low days, but on average, what we're talking about is, what are the things that we can do in our life that will literally have us operating and experiencing and being in a higher vibration more consistently?
Well, so that's where I think I think we're probably on the same page there. The idea is that shifting state, you're using state in a more, at least the way I was hearing it, in a more psychological type of experience. To me, state is what you get to in order to start the flow of energy that changes your vibration. So you're shifting state in order to increase the frequency, increase the spin of the vibration. And the more you stay there, the higher you can spin your energy. And then over time, you learn tools to sustain at various points. But it is my experience that once you transcend a step in energy, you don't ever, you literally have to hurt yourself to go backwards. You literally have to, you'd have to do a lot in order to undermine that once you've achieved it.
So let's talk about that. What would those things be as examples?
What would what things be?
Going backwards and hurting yourself. How do people hurt themselves to go backwards?
I think continuing or focusing into behaviors or beliefs or habits that have not served you and continuing to do them.
Can you give an example?
Let's see here. So I'm looking for one that I can give firsthand rather than a clinical definition. Off the top of my head, I'm not coming up with one, but I will.
Okay.
I wasn't thinking in terms of example.
The reason I'm chuckling is last week I found myself being Mr. Judgment in whatever topic we were discussing. So this week I was hoping I could get off the hot seat and you could be on the hot seat as far as what are these lower vibrational belief systems and or behaviors that some of our listeners might be operating in that could feel judged by our podcast.
Well, God. Anybody could feel that if they wanted to, I suppose.
Yes, they could.
But again, it's I think you spoke to it. It's where you focus your attention. Everything in our environment carries a vibration. So if your desire is to change your core vibration, is to increase that frequency, then in order to change that frequency, you start internally, right? You get that shift going. But once the frequency changes, the energy changes, then things in the environment will start to change. Things in the environment, people, places, jobs, stuff, all kinds of things can either matriculate out or matriculate into your experience as that process unfolds. Where we get stuck, I think, sometimes is attachments to certain people, particularly that's probably the toughest. And I may be generalizing there, but I think that's probably the place that is the most challenging for people in changing vibration, is that when you're no longer resonating at the same place as the people you've been close to for a long time, it's really challenging to be able to not engage that energy anymore. And in some cases, when you're changing from, say, a very, I don't like to use the word low, but a slower vibration. So maybe you hung out with people that you partied with a lot, and people that, were all about a certain lifestyle, that nothing wrong with it. But if you're wanting to take a spiritual path, or if you're walking your own path and you're trying to change that vibration, you do make that change in vibration, and suddenly those people that you could hang out with and party with and carry on with isn't comfortable or isn't as comfortable, or you find yourself being initially kind of judgmental of it, which is just a way of trying to separate your energy from it, but just not necessarily a healthy way. So some of the examples are we talked about in our last podcast too, but it's recognizing those changes and then recognizing that you have to make new choices to support those changes. So if it's people, sometimes, we continue in relationship, whether it's an intimate relationship, whether it's just a friendship relationship or a familial relationship, we stay in them because we think we should, or because we have to, or because we think. The classic to me is, well, I don't want to be a dick, or I don't want to be mean, or I don't want to be inappropriate, or I don't want to be that person. And none of that is really true. If you get to the point when you've shifted state to be in the observer, to observe the difference in the energy, it doesn't mean you don't love them or don't like them. It just means that for your purposes, for where you're going, it's like dragging baggage. It's like a ball and chain of sorts, because you're trying to achieve a higher vibration while you're holding on to something in a lower vibration. You can't get there from here. Does that answer your question?
Yes, that was very well explained. You always do a good job of that, Jim.
Thank you.
So where do you have a sense that we want to go at this point? Like encouraging, the people that are listening or find this topic interesting to be brave and know that there are, anytime you make a change, there's going to be pros and cons. There's going to be some things that are absolutely drawing you toward wanting to make the change. Mm-hmm. And then there are going to be some losses or some gaps or deficits or just new experiences that go along with the change. And those are tough things.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think there's... I would say to anyone who is venturing to change the state, the level state of their vibration, the process is deeply rewarding, but it's not easy. And unlike so many things that I've experienced in the world, just from living life for 55 years, there are certain things that we do because they bring us satisfaction, or they feel good, or whatever the case may be. So we continue to do them in hopes that they will continue to do that. somewhat of a flawed premise, because if you think of changing energy, if you think of increasing vibration as part of an evolutionary process, it never ends. So there's no destination other than growth, or other than great change, or other than enlightenment, or whatever that is that you're seeking. So once you begin that arc of experience, the challenge becomes that the things that you knew before don't stay the same, because you're not the same. And I think that at the basis, you have to come from a place of getting to that place in the foundation of your energy, where you're finding that observer. I've just started reading this book it's been around forever, but I just, for whatever reason, showed up in my spaces, The Untethered Soul. Really interesting. I'm just getting into it, but it literally, at least from the beginning of the book, is all about this idea of, he talks about how there's, finding the observer is not as difficult as it seems, because there is the chatter that is the mind that goes on continuously all the time, nonstop, for about everything. And if you just sit and listen to your mind will go off in 7,000 different directions at the same time about everything. So the idea of getting to this observer point, so that you can see and distinguish between what is your ability to change your energy and what is the mind operating in its field. And it's just, you know, what's the word that I want? It's that receiver, you know, it's just picking up crap everywhere, and it's just broadcasting and receiving, and it has no rhyme or reason to it. In order to make that first big step is getting to that point of that observational place, that place of unentanglement with what's happening in this, from my perspective.
Right.
And I sort of went off somewhere because I didn't finish the thought that I'd started with. So maybe you can help get me.
Well, we were just talking about the pros and cons regarding making a conscious choice to increase vibration.
Yeah.
And you know, I know Abraham Hicks and Esther, they talk a lot about pros and cons and just the outpouring of the events as they unfold, as you desire to live in a higher vibration, you are creating distance between yourself and people that are not on that path with you.
Yeah.
And I think you touched about that on that just a few moments ago when you brought up the analogy of you know, in high school or whatever, or college, you used to party with people, and some people are still there. They're still vibrating at that same frequency. What's important to them is creating festivity and interaction, and it involves substances to help them get to that vibration, right? Then that's kind of an interesting way of looking at it. If you know, dump a bunch of alcohol in your system, you are literally lowering your vibration, and you're getting everybody into that same vibrational energy based on how much alcohol they're drinking. And then everything's funny. It's like we're all now having a similar experience, and what's not funny when we're not inebriated is funny when we're inebriated, because we've changed our state, we've changed our vibration. So the benefits of increasing vibration come with a cost. Everything that is worth anything comes with a cost. If it wasn't worth something, we would all just instantly be doing it, and that would be the end of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can't believe it took me this long to get an example to you, but the example that I used before we even got on the podcast, to exemplify when you make the choice to attend to your vibration, when you make the choice to increase the vibration, part of that is a responsibility to anything and everything that comes out of your energy or comes into your energy. And that can sound a little daunting, but I'll give you an example here, which is my spouse and I have recently made some major shifts in our financial process. And part of that is about bringing our financials together in a way that we never have before. It stirred up a lot of stuff, both for me and for him. But for me, the interesting part of this is there's money being, you know, the expression money is the root of all evil. Interestingly enough, because I think the source of that idea is that there's so much bad juju built into the money game and consciousness around it. And it's hard to address it without dealing with all of the consciousness that's around it. And what I mean by that is that as we're dealing with the shifts and changes that we're going through, you know, with our financial situation, you know, a thing came up today with a bill that was kind of unnecessary and could have been avoided, but wasn't avoided. And in the moment of it, my immediate response to the intensity is an intensity, is a, oh my God, we're going to lose something. Oh my God. You know, it's all of this weird, bizarre money consciousness shit that has nothing to do with anything except a bunch of fear, a bunch of probably some history tied in there, a whole lot of my dad, a whole lot of my mom, a whole lot of a lot of other things that really have nothing to do with me and my vibration. But it stimulated something that was in my vibration, and I attended to it by reacting to it. And that reaction was to get angry, and that reaction was to have words about this situation and to feel it start to spin out of control while it was happening. And saying to myself in the throes of it, Jim, this is inappropriate and this is unhealthy. So that's the observer part of me going, dude, time out. Where are you going here? You just took a left turn and you're going down the rabbit hole in a big way. And I stopped because I've spent so much time and energy attending to that observer that I, as soon as I feel or hear that, I stop and I go, oh, what am I doing? Time out. I let myself go down this channel, down this ego road, down this vibrational path that has taken me from my typical kind of good, steady place to this unstable, much lower, angry, ugly place.
Right. And it doesn't feel good.
No. And it feels horrible. And,
but I'm going to do it anyway, damn it.
And I did. I did for a minute. And then I went, what are you doing? And what I had to do to shift that for myself was I literally had to stop and I had to look him dead in the eye. I had to make eye contact because I realized that whole time I was having my little fit, I never connected to him. I was connecting to my own shit. I was connecting to my own game and I never connected to him. And as soon as I did it, my heart softened and I went, dude, what are you doing? Why are you going here? How is this going to solve this new great thing that we have the opportunity to do together, which is why we're doing it, because we were excited about it and we were enthusiastic about it and we were engaged about it. And now you're turning it into a thing. Increasing your vibration says, time out. I don't want to play in that arena. How can I shift this and how can I shift it now?
Right.
And so the first thing I do is I own it. And I stop and I say, you know what, honey, I'm really sorry. I'm being completely inappropriate and I'm going to own it. And I know this is tough and I know we're both going through our own stuff here. And here's my concern. Here's what I want to work, what I want to work on. What's your viewpoint? Now I'm going to include him because we're in this together. It's not just me, it's us. And this is an us thing that we're excited about. So it sounds a little convoluted maybe, but from my perspective, it sounds very clean because I'm a human being. I'm dealing with human experiences. I'm having human emotions, but I'm also giving myself permission to recognize when that's not serving me or my vibration or the vibration of my partner or the vibration of my life. And instead of it taking a week or a month now to shift, it takes an hour or less to shift. I can, you know, when we got on the call, when we got on to do the podcast, I was still agitated. I was still spinning in it and I could feel the conflict. And I shared it with Jeff and said, you know, this is where I'm at right now. I need a minute to kind of get my crap together. And as we talked and as we started, all of a sudden it was like, you know, I shared what was going on, and then the energy started to shift and started to abate. And now I'm coming back into center. It's not all completely gone, but I'm back. I'm much closer to that core vibration that I want to be, in recognizing that it's all good. And there may be things that we have to work on, but that doesn't make him wrong and me right, or me wrong and him right, or anything else. It's just, we're in totally new territory with each other. We now have another great thing to kind of explore together, and we have to be gentle with each other. And I'm not always good at that. So it's, again, awareness, 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 awareness. So the example is about showing that it's a process. But the joy of the process is going from where I was 45 minutes ago to where I am now. And how wonderfully empowering and uplifting and incredible it feels to be able to see what I just did over the course of the last hour.
Right.
And to be able to say, you know what? It's okay. I love me. I love him. I love us. It's good. And I can surrender this energy immediately and move on. And it may show up again. I don't know. Chances are good, with the intensity that it showed up this time, it's probably going to show up again in some form. And that's okay, because now I'm aware, because it showed up. I shoot that into my awareness and I go, okay, now if it comes up, I know what that feels like. I can shift it long before it ever comes to the point of me getting upset about it. I can feel and I can hear the thoughts and I can feel the emotion build, and I can say, time out. We did this and it didn't do any good last time, and it didn't serve us last time. So let's find a different alternative that might be more fun, or might be more, before I'm already engaged in the need to rage. You know what I mean? So there's my example.
That was a good example. So with regard to the desire to,
excuse me, sorry,
the desire to increase vibration, as vibration increases with regard to sound, it reaches a higher pitch. As vibration increases with a mechanical device, it actually has more energy. A higher vibration, say, think of like the drill in your dentist's hand, that little sucker spins fast. Mm-hmm. And the faster it spins, it can actually work more efficiently and less painfully. And it just does a better job than a drill that would be spinning more slowly.
Makes sense.
So I'm just contemplating right now the benefits of living a life at a higher frequency. There's more joy. So back to David Hawkins' work, emotions all have a frequency. And, you know, love is at the top and fear is at the bottom. And then there's all, you know, all the other emotions and experiences and energies in between. But you'd have to ask yourself, if you were to average out your day, and you tried to name, you know, every 10 minutes, you tried to track where you were emotionally, it'd be interesting to average out your day and then do that day over day for a week and then a month. And you'd come up with a number, and you'd come up with an emotion that would go along with that to represent your overall vibration. And you hear that when someone tells you, oh, I just met so-and-so and, you know, they're such a happy person. Or I just met so-and-so and, you know, they're kind of like, you know, Debbie Downer or negative Nancy or negative Nelly. You know, those are just very bland, broad brush definitions of what a person's experience was at a vibrational level. And you know, we don't want to be the negative Nelly or the Downer Dan or whatever the names are. We want to be, you know, Happy Hal or Jolly Jim or Jolly Jeff or whatever. That people that are in those energies, it probably wasn't an accident that they got there. Mm-hmm. It could be that they've done an awful lot of work in their spiritual path, and or they kind of started out there because they had a really supportive family and they haven't been through a lot of traumas in their life. So it's not really a fair game that we all start at the same place. We definitely don't. And it's also not a fair game if we're into comparison at all, which I encourage people not to be comparing yourself to somebody else.
Right.
That the number of times that we've been here on the planet could also have a lot to do with where we are in our evolution and our journey and who we are as people. Just to lay a little bit of foundation, there's some sacred texts that would say, if you're here on planet Earth, everybody here on planet Earth is close enough in the big scheme of things to being in what they call the third dimension. And if you're in the third dimension, that means you graduated from the second dimension, but you're not quite ready for the fourth dimension yet. And the fourth dimension is a lower focus on self and a higher focus on other, as maybe one way to define frequency and vibration is how much of your life energy and life force is focused on your own desires, your own needs, your own gratifications. And we would call that, in some regard, to, if someone was really focused on themselves, we'd call that selfish. And those people generally have a lower vibration. You could think of a dictator that is wanting to take another country's land. That would be a low vibrational person, just want something that doesn't belong to them, but because they're the bully on the block, they're going to take it. So bullying would be a low vibration. Brute force and strength and terrorism, and those are all low vibrational energies.
I want to jump in here a second. My favorite conflicted topic. the attention on I versus, or the attention, the difference of attention on self versus the attention on others. I was at a Kirtan class, or Kirtan, not class, or whatever they are, last week on Sunday. And it was really awesome. And the gal leading it made a comment about that same thing, about focusing on others. And I kind of chuckled, because what became apparent to me in the moment of that was understanding the value of that. I think one of the things that is very challenging about the spiritual path, about metaphysics, at least to me, is this thing that goes from save myself to save the world, and putting your attention and the idea of service and what that means, because a lot of the Eastern cultures particularly are very much about being of service and understanding what being of service is about, and that the process of evolution in the spiritual path revolves around a large chunk in the very beginning of a very difficult time of learning about service, because what the concept of service is and what service actually is are two very different things in my experience. Words about service and the acts of service really have very little relative relationship, because when you are truly of service, there are no words. It's a communion of energies. It's a coming together. It's being completely available to that moment and being totally willing to do whatever's necessary in that moment, because that's what feels right. That's what is right. That's what is organic. And I don't want to get down that whole path there, because that's a whole other topic. But the idea being that what I came away with was, oh, I finally get it. The reason there's so much focus on pay attention to others is because it gets your focus off of you. And getting the focus off of you is important, because if you can get your focus off of you, then your energy isn't going to interfere with the energy that's trying to permeate your consciousness to help you in the process of becoming more conscious and of elevating your vibration. Because you didn't come here to fix anybody else. You didn't come here to fix anybody else's shit. You didn't come here to make anything else better. You came here to be you. That's what you came here for.
Right.
All of us, every single one of us. The problem is that in culture, the process of society and mass consciousness has put so many, and that's that whole thing of the idea of mass consciousness, understand everyone, mass consciousness is all of us. But it's all of us over time. So what I mean by that is that all of the people who have lived over all of the scope of time that people have lived have created ideas and beliefs and thought processes and concepts and structures and ideas and thought that just exist in the thought realm. They're there all the time. And the closer you get to the vibration of the planet, the denser that energy is, because 7.5 billion people having all these thoughts consistently creates a very powerful engine. So that engine is constantly feeding us through everything that we see in our culture and in society. And one of the challenges of shifting vibration is not paying any attention to any of that. It's learning how to disconnect from all of that, very, very, i.e. the matrix. It's about pulling away from all of that stimulation so that, again, you come to center in what is my vibration and how do I facilitate that in the world in just to be able to do my day-to-day life or just to be able to create a sense of fulfillment. So it's a good idea, but I don't know that it's actually an intrinsic thing. And we can talk about that all day. It's just personally, I think it sets us up for things that we don't need. And at least it did for me, where this idea of being of service and focusing on others and being of service is one thing. Focusing on others can be a distraction, but the idea that that's how we get where we need to go, to me, is because it just gets you out of the way for a while. And what you learn along the way is some incredibly valuable and powerful stuff about non-attachment to what you think is your human experience, which really is just what was contrived before you got conscious. And once you get conscious, the whole game changes. Do you follow all that?
I did.
Are you with me with that?
I can sync up with that with regard to, at some level, because the sacred text I was referring to is the law of one, and they're simply saying if you can do 49% focus on you, 51% on others, and you're in service, you know, that's a pretty good goal to try to obtain. But somebody that, let's say, is only focused 10% on themselves and 90% on others, we call them codependent. So it's like, you don't want to go there. You're not living your life. You're living your life through other people.
Right.
And not dealing with your own stuff.
Well, so, and I would also add, Jeff, just as another point to this, is that when you make that shift into that expanded vibration, when you go from that 200 to 300 or 200 to 350 or whatever, however that jump is, once you have embodied the idea of service, the attention within and without changes. You don't have to force attention. It comes as a natural part of the process. Think about it as you expand. As you expand, you see more. As you expand, you experience more. As you expand, you have the ability to take in more. So it's only natural and organic that you would attend to what you can attend to in the world around you as it relates to your experience.
Mm-hmm.
That makes total sense to me, because that's a natural evolution, as opposed to, I'm going to save the world, or I'm going to heal the planet, or I'm, you know, whatever all that is. It's all nice,
just,
but it's,
to that's me,
it's
just all ego.
Yeah.
That's,
I was going to say, yeah. it's all ego. Oh. Because you can do some good things and you could do some valuable things, but you'll not be connected to it and it won't last. It can't, because you have to be in the energy to sustain it. You can't hold a space you can't identify. What I mean by that is that the concept of holding a space means you are vibrationally managing a space that's holding a certain vibration. And if you're trying to if you're trying to hold a space at a higher vibration, you have to be coming from that vibration to hold the space for it.
Otherwise, you'd be a fraud, Tom. We don't like those. That gets quickly revealed.
Yes.
You know, I was thinking of your explanation about focus on self and versus others and distraction and whatnot. I was thinking about this podcast as an example of, you know, each week you and I talk after the podcast about just the energy that we get from doing this, that it is a blessing to both of us. But yet, in the big picture, it is an act of service. Mm-hmm. Although we get something from it, we are also hoping that others listening will get something from it. So we're sharing in some regard.
Yeah.
So somewhere along the way here, because you and I never set this up of, hey, let's meet once a week, spend 2 hours of our lives just talking to each other. We could do that on the phone. It wouldn't require us both setting up little mini studios and all the work that you do to put it out there to share it with everybody, right? So in some regard, that is service that we're doing. Mm-hmm. I think it falls in that category. And that feels good. It feels good to be in service. I think that's why, you know, Christ said it's better to give than receive. You know, that would be an example of it's good to be the giver because that means you're generally probably doing a little bit better than the receiver. I don't know if that's, you could put that in there, that if you had to choose between which one would you want to be, it would be generally preferred to probably be able to give out of excess than to be the one that needs out of lack.
Well, I think that's true, but I think we're missing the whole component of giving. Is the process of giving in a natural way is a shift state.
Mm-hmm.
It is an opening of your energetic space, which is why it's always what goes around comes around. It isn't about having excess of anything except maybe energy, but you can, by giving, the giving process opens up your field. The giving process typically stimulates the heart. It also stimulates the power center, depending on what kind of thing you're doing. It opens up the pituitary and the eye and the third eye, because you've now elevated, you know, and again, it's going to depend on what you're doing. I'm giving a very broad definition, but the giving process changes the core of your, you know, it shifts you. And the better to give it than to receive, because receiving is about pulling energy to you and keeping that energy. Well, when you're in a giving state and something comes to you to receive, what ends up happening is that it comes in, it fills you, and you immediately are going back out again because the filling is so full, you want to share it out here.
Right.
And again, energetically, giving just opens the space to maximum capacity, which is why wouldn't you want to be there? You know, as opposed to the dogma of giving, which is you're a better human if you give, or you're a better this if you give, or if you have more, you should give. No, giving is service. Giving is opening your space and your energy and acknowledging something outside of this little personality. It's going beyond the little personality, even if it's just this much. That's, you know, we all take the steps. You mentioned this earlier, you know, 7.5 billion people, we're all individual here doing our thing. So if I can go this much in my experience, that's, you know, maybe that's huge. For other people, that may be this much. It really varies. I say this much, meaning a much greater capacity.
Right.
All the greater capacity, I think, means is more connection to self. You get to be you become better at the opening and giving process as you come more connected to self as well. It's a natural, organic part of the process, because that desire to connect and that desire to serve and that desire to engage just gets greater and greater. And you know, it becomes one of the more satisfying experiences to be in that continual wave.
So we were starting our podcast today with this idea of what is vibration and state, and maybe we could now shift state into the idea of what would the benefits be of increasing vibration? What can people look forward to? What would motivate people to consider at this point in their lives being open to taking another step or two toward operating in a higher frequency? Some of the things that have led up to this discussion that we've talked about up to now have been the notion that you are the food you eat, you are the company that you keep. One of my mentors said that it's his opinion that your income will be the average of the five closest people to you, which is kind of more along the lines of birds of a feather flock together. Mm. So it's interesting that if you're going to change your frequency and your vibration, you're going to need to do it in a different group of people, is kind of what I was just saying. Mm-hmm. Unless the whole group gets together and wants to do it at the same time, which would be interesting to try to do it that way. So, you know, step one would be perhaps something along the lines of who are you drawn to in your life that is just seems to be more at peace and content with everything that's going on around them, that isn't, doesn't have wild highs and lows. And not that those are bad things, but just, you know, this right off the top of my head, I haven't rehearsed this and didn't write it down. So you're kind of getting it raw of what would some initial steps be toward looking at changing your vibration, because it will involve a new environment for you. Mm-hmm. You know, like making the shift from gas powered cars to electric cars. Once you make the shift, you don't go to gas stations any longer, right? Because there's no electricity at a gas station. And people that make that shift go, wow, I never realized in the course of a month, I spent an hour of my life at a gas station filling up four times a week. And I now have that hour back because my car charges itself in the garage at nighttime.
Yeah.
So there's, and then the next thing you know is you meet other people that drive electric cars at the grocery store or somewhere else. And now you're like, oh, we're part of the not burning gas group now. And we kind of all feel a little bit better about that. And oh, by the way, we only spend about 20% of what we used to on our transportation costs, you know. So those would all be benefits of, you know, making a big state shift like that. But what that might look like interpersonally or with regard to your friends is some of them will keep because they're on a path similar to yours, and that's why they are your friends, and they're reading self-help books and they're going to seminars and watching videos and things like that that they're interested in raising vibration also. The ones that aren't, it'll just be interesting. I mean, that's kind of the drawback or the what keeps a lot of people stuck. And sometimes the people that aren't, they're your husband or wife, or they're your fiance or your long-term girlfriend or something. And you're like, wow, in order for me to get out of this place I'm in, because I'm just looping, I'm if you put a number to it, I get up to 200, but then I slide back to 175. And 2 months later, it's like, I cannot break through the ceiling of this keeping my vibration up. So it's a necessary thing, and it requires courage and bravery to step into what all goes in with my life is going to be different. And generally for life to be different, it has to be better enough. There's a certain magnitude of better. And of course, that's all evaluated individually from one person to the next. But in the business world, they say in order to bring a new product to the marketplace, it has to be 10 times better than the one that's already there. That just blows my mind. Mm. 10 times, it has to be a magnitude of 10 times better. If you're going to make a new stapler, it needs to be 10 times better than the existing staplers to get it to the marketplace and to actually have it replace the ones that are already in service. So if we use that same idea of changing your life and raising your vibration, and whether it correlates to business or not, let's say it has to be a factor of 3 to 10 times better than what you're already experiencing in order to justify the energy, the discomfort. Yeah, that's the word, discomfort, mm-hmm. that it's going to take place during the time that you're leaving the old and arriving and that becoming your new normal. Whew, that was a lot to get out there. I hope you have some feedback to some of that.
No. Yeah. I'm kidding.
I can do another one.
I don't know what you're talking about. So what it prompted for me was to spin it back a little bit so our listeners can kind of, you know, we don't know in the scheme of things who's listening as far as, you know, where you are in your own experience, what you're looking for, where you've been, where you're going. But as a way of sort of looking at this through a scope of how does this evolve, typically it starts with, and what is this? This is the desire. This is, I want to increase my vibration. I want to, whether you get it to the idea of I want transformation or I want enlightenment or I want to change my vibration or my frequency, I want to expand my consciousness. That starts with a niggly. That starts with a prompt, a feeling, an internal dissatisfaction with the status quo. It starts with something inside that's saying, I think there's more. I don't know what it is. And there's a lot of stuff out there. And I've seen these books and I've heard about these seminars and I've, you know, these people and these teachers, and I know there's more, but I'm not sure what more is. And so the way to go about that, then typically what happens is you start picking up books. Maybe you run into some people. But, you know, from my perspective, the idea is, you know, get on Meetup, start to find people that are like-minded to where you want to go, and seek out groups that are like-minded to what you're looking for. Meaning you're not going to look for a group that doesn't quite understand what these changes are about. You're going to look for a group that's going to help you forge your direction. So you're going to look for something that appeals to you, and that's going to be an energy up, energy down thing. You're looking through these groups and you're like, oh, that sounds interesting. And then you feel it in your body and your body goes, yeah, wah, wah. And you go, okay, I'm going to move on to the next one. So engagement. So maybe you're reading a book, the book sparks ideas, the ideas spark, I want to understand and learn more. So see, there's an organicness to it that isn't about having to browbeat yourself into something. This is not, I need to lose 30 pounds, damn it. This is, you know, and I'm going to restrict my food consumption. I'm going to go on a diet and I'm going to exercise and I'm going to do all these things that are going to make me lose weight. I hope you're hearing and feeling the energy that I'm doing that with, because that's how we tend to go about the process of losing weight. That's not what consciousness is about, and you will get nowhere going there that direction. other than frustrated and wondering why you're going in circles. So you're going to say something? Go. You can jump in.
I didn't say anything.
Okay. So finding those things, engaging them, and then beginning to just allow the process to unfold. Because once you go there and you create that openness, then other people and things will show up in your world that are absolutely perfect for you where you are right now to get you where you want to go. And it's amazing how it happens, and it's amazing how consistently it happens. But part of that process is that ease that with which you step into it. And that it isn't, you're not beating yourself into submission, you're opening yourself up to possibility.
Mm-hmm.
And through that, then you begin to make these connections. So it's not that you have to know anything to start with, other than I have a feeling. I know there's more to this life than I'm here for. Okay, cool. That's a very valid feeling. Now engage that. Engage that curiosity, engage that experience, and let it move you forward to whatever the next thing is, the next, you know, whatever that is, so that each individual begins to have the experience of that connectedness and serendipity and all those buzzwords that get talked about, which are actually quite valid, and even more powerful when they're not buzzwords, because they happen in a way in our lives that speak to us. So what I mean by that is that as you're navigating, you know, you're having that feeling, you're like, yeah, this is, I'm thinking there's more. And, you know, you stop by Starbucks for your coffee and you happen to bump into somebody who is reading a book that you'd never seen before. And next thing you know, you're having a conversation with someone who's taking you to the next place, or hands you the book and says, this has been amazing. I think this would be great for you. and you have these kind of those kind of things start happening, and you start to experience that magic that really truly exists for all of us at every level of every bit of experience, because we're all in the same pool. You know, we're all on the same planet doing this thing. So it's really cool that we can all have those experiences. We just have to create the space and allow them.
Right. What you're talking about reminds me of a little snippet out of the autobiography of a yogi. To quickly reference it, there was a gentleman who was considering studying under Yogananda, and his major concern was, you know, occasionally I enjoy smoking a cigar and I like to have a scotch. This was a guy that was very wealthy and came from a, you know, very privileged background. And his concern was, will I have to give these things up as I'm studying yoga and really wanting to work toward being a yogi? And Yogananda simply replied to him and said, no, you don't have to give those things up. You're just going to get to a place where they no longer interest you. And that's when you know that you're on the path, things that you used to do for fun, recreation, escape, relief. Because anything we put into our body or anything we do, like jumping out of an airplane with a parachute, that's, I'm looking for a high that I can't get anywhere else or whatever, so I'm going to recklessly throw myself out and hope the damn thing opens so I'm not a pancake. But there's a point at which you can achieve that without having to go into the airplane. Mm-hmm. They're in some forms of transcendental meditation and trance work, different forms of therapy and different spiritual practices, some drug-induced like ayahuasca or mescaline or whatnot, even LSD can create an experience that the mind doesn't know that it's really not jumping out of an airplane. It's just having this experience, and it's as euphoric and as enjoyable as the real thing. A little bit off track there, but the point was, you just,
none of that is there. There's the point that you're making is great, and there's nothing wrong with jumping out of a plane,
right?
If you want that experience,
the what I would offer as a comeback is people that think the only way to get that experience is by jumping out of an airplane have limited themselves to that, and that's where they will always be. So if your best experience is on a Friday night, half hammered from a variety of different drugs and a great night of wanton sex, there's nothing wrong with that in terms of, if you want that experience, go create it. But that is not the only way to achieve those experiences as far as the pleasure that it brings or what you think that it's actually creating for you.
Agreed.
And you could do it in a less risky, less physiologically harmful way to the body, because those things really aren't good for the body.
Yeah. And I like the distinction that you made, and I think it absolutely applies and is very, very valid. You know, it's an important distinction, because we do tend to err on that side a little too much, but that's part of that whole mass conscious deal. That's part of the, you know, what we kind of get entrained into is this constant need for stimulation.
Well, sure, Jim. And, you know, in comparison between the maybe several thousand podcasts like this that may be on the planet right now, encouraging people to have their enlightened and aware experiences more metaphysically than physically, There are millions of websites that are oriented toward the physical. So there's, you know, the thousands compared to the millions. And just if you throw Manhattan advertising world into this, you know, it's like we can't compete because, you know, everywhere you look, there's a McDonald's on every corner, and there's a liquor store on the right across from McDonald's. And every movie you watch, the people that are having fun are drunk and they're having great sex. And we're just constantly being bombarded by the physical, the physical, the physical, the physical.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes it, it's one of the, it's, you know, we were, as we were talking about the pros and the apparent cons, you know, one of the things that takes a bit getting, takes a bit of getting used to is when you lose your taste for what you'd think would be quote normal. You know, I was driving some people to the airport this morning and they were just in a great space. They were excited. They were going to Chicago, I think, and they were going to wedding, and they were just, they were laughing and carrying on and just having a really good time. And one of the conversations was about, oh, where are you staying in Chicago? Are you staying outside? Are you staying in downtown? Oh, no, I'm staying in downtown. Oh my God, Chicago is such a great city. It's so much fun. There's so much to do there, and there's so many places to go. And, you know, and there was a moment, a brief, very quick second where I felt a part of me went, like, got a little sad, because I could hear what they were talking. I knew what they were talking about. It was about going out and partying and hanging out with your friends, and there's great restaurants and there's clubs and there's bars and there's shopping and there's all kinds of cool things to do. And it's a great city. And there's no dispute in that. But for me, I don't have that. That isn't a craving I have anymore, to be in that energy like that. And there was a little bit of sadness there, because I kind of went, gosh, their energy is so clear about that. They were so enthusiastic. Like, I felt like I was missing something. Like, I wanted to be in their world for a minute, just to kind of like, what does that mean to you when you say that? What does that mean? And what would a night like that be in your world? You know what I mean? And what would that experience be? And it's so interesting, one, on so many levels. One, because noticing having that sadness is important. But secondly, noticing the comparison that was immediately going on between the choices I've made and the choices they've made. And did I make good choices, or didn't I make good choices? And if they could have such a good experience of a city like that, am I missing something? Did I miss something? Should I be paying attention to something else? You know? And then coming full circle to going, yeah, I'm really good with where I am. You know, like, that's that whole thing we were talking about earlier, where the mind just runs off at the mouth and will just talk about everything. And when you stop and connect to that observer piece and you go, yeah, it probably sounds good on paper, but, you know, thus far, anytime you've tried to push into those places where you just don't feel it anymore, you just don't feel it anymore.
Yeah. So
pushing in doesn't make the feeling come alive.
Right. That's what you just said was just, I got to make a little comment on Dr. Gabor Mate's definition of sobriety. Isn't abstaining from a substance. It's when you get to a point where the substance is no longer interesting to you.
Amen.
And when that substance could be shopping, it could be any of these things that we think the material world offers us that we can't find in the metaphysical. Mm. And my gosh, dear people, it is so available just for the asking. The it being an at the very least an equivalent experience that would be equal to what you're going to get in the physical world. I'm going to go out on a limb and say, whatever you could create for your best experience in the physical world, at the very minimum, the metaphysical can offer that, but will even be better.
Yes.
And that would be...
I will back that up. I'll back you up on that. 900,000%. Because the experiences that you have in consciousness are so deeply personal that they touch you in ways that you didn't even realize you could be touched. You know, and I mean, the picture in my head is the mountains. And the reason the picture in the head is the mountains is that it doesn't matter what you're doing, you can have a moment anywhere. And part of the whole idea of consciousness and energy and raising vibration in part is about being 100% present to your now moment, because everything that's happening is happening in your now moment. It's not happening anywhere else. And when you're fully engaged to that, when you have those experiences, they're visceral and they encompass everything, all of the senses, all of the feeling, all everything for that moment is bliss. And it's happened to me driving down the road, Michael and I having a conversation in the car, we're having a nice conversation about something, and I turn and look out the window, and the words that we just exchanged prompted me to turn my head at a particular moment that the light was hitting in such a way that everything looked like it was glowing, and all the trees looked like they were like like brilliantly colored, and the sky was breathtaking, and everything in the moment is so ridiculously satisfying, and you just revel in it. You just sit there going, wow. And you know, and I'll turn to Michael and go, I'm having a moment. You want to know about it? Are you interested? You know, because they're that good.
Yeah.
And they're not, it's not like you have to wait. You're not sitting around waiting for them all the time. They happen as a natural course of events because you're so engaged vibrationally that what you want is that amazing feeling and sensation and experience and having those moments. You know, I mean, we used to host parties all the time when I was living in California because we love to entertain. But one of the things that I love to do is I love to create spaces. And what I mean by that is I love to use my energy to stimulate people to feel certain things. And I know how to do that really well. I know how to create an environment where I know that somebody walking into the space is going to have this type of experience. They're going to have it in their own way, but they're going to have it in the context of the environment that I have created for them to enjoy. But what would happen is that I would rarely get engaged with the minutiae of the party, meaning I wouldn't spend a lot of time hanging out and chit-chatting. I was busy, you know, making sure food was done, and I was visiting with everybody, but I was sort of floating around and through. And so what would happen, and I remember this one vividly because it was so incredible. We had a hot tub at the back of the house with the pool. And I'd come out to the patio, and Michael was in the hot tub with his mom and dad, who have not been married for decades, but are still friends. And they live across town from each other, but they came to our party, and they're still very friendly. But there was this moment, they were sitting around, there was a little table in the middle of the hot tub, and they were sitting around the table, and I came out onto the patio, and I stopped, and they were just having this moment of joy together in the hot tub that completely rocked my world. I couldn't move for like a minute because the whole picture of the people sitting on the patio and them in that moment and the looks on their faces and what was going on and everything around it was just spectacular. And I just had to stop, just like tear run down my face because I was just, the beauty of it was so unbelievable. I couldn't believe I got to be there in that moment, to be there in that moment. You know what I mean? But I'm sharing these because they happen regularly when you're giving yourself permission to have that connection and to move in that forward moving energy, you know, where you want to, you're not beating yourself into a higher vibration. You're allowing yourself into a higher vibration. Very different experience.
I find it interesting that we're living in a time in human history where more hours are spent each day than they used to. But for some people, they're spending more time in the digital world than they are in the analog world. They're in front of a screen more hours of the day than they're not. And even if that's not the case with anybody listening, all of us are in front of a screen more than we were a decade ago two decades ago. And being in front of a screen is actually a state of metaphysical. If you're playing a video game, your mind is playing that game. You have projected yourself into that game. You are that character. You are having those experiences. And they're not in the physical. It has nothing to do with physical. You've allowed the mind to transfer yourself right on in there. If you're watching porn, same kind of thing. Watching a movie, watching any of our favorite shows. We have separated our mind from our body. When you get in a chair or a couch, you have literally disconnected and you're now in that show having those experiences. And that's the same thing that happens when you go to a party and somebody hands you a drink and you have two or three of those, you're literally separating the mind from the body, and you're having a new state. You're having an altered state of your mind is in an altered state of consciousness that you think that's the only way you can get there is with these drinks or in this environment with these people. And it's not. It's not the only way. Netflix is not the only answer. And nor is Call of Duty or World of Warcraft or any of these other things that are literally, I mean, just think about the millions of hours a week around the planet that Netflix and those video games and our favorite TV shows are taking from time that could be spent in meditation, prayer, exercise, yoga, of these other things. And so we are already choosing an out-of-body experience when we're sitting on a couch watching a TV show. It may not be LSD, it may not be peyote or mescaline or mushrooms or any of that other stuff, but we're having a minor out-of-body experience when we do those things.
Yeah. And it's important to remember here too that it's all things in balance. You know, as Jeff said, he pointed out that line from Yogananda. You know, it's all in. When it's no longer necessary, it won't be there. When you're no longer attached to it, it's going to go away. So it isn't, again, remembering, it's not about judging anything that you're doing. It's about starting where you are and taking a step in the direction of where you would want to be. And that step can be any number of things. You may many people kind of come into the spiritual experiencing having had some trauma or crisis. And they come into it with this, all of that before was bad, and now I got to come up with new. And that is not a balanced perspective, nor does it serve your process, because the shock, you got to remember you're dealing in energy. So if you shock, sometimes the shock to the system is necessary, but the shock already occurred when it brought your awareness to all the things you now think you have to throw away or get rid of or stop doing or whatever. The awareness is what's important, not the crap behind you. The crap behind you will dissipate if you keep your energy on the change that's occurring. The change that's occurring is what is forward moving. The change that is occurring is where you create momentum to get to where you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
So you got where you are doing what you've done. You can't blame or judge that. That's what got you here. It's what brought you to awareness. Relish the awareness. Recognize there are patterns and behaviors that you're probably going to need to change, because you are. But it's going to come through the process. And you don't have to dump all the baby out with the bathwater. You know, you can take it step by step incrementally. And it's usually a little easier that way, because you get to see in real time the shift that's going on in your own experience. It's not somebody telling you, it's not some teacher telling you, you know, go clear your house, you know, and do all these things that will make you more spiritual. No, you're already spiritual. Just start taking the steps that help you to engage what you want and disengage what you don't want.
Right.
So being, you know, again, it's the toughest, one of those toughest things is being gentle with ourselves, especially through the awakening process, because a lot of times that comes through in a very jarring or shocking way sometimes, where you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize. Well, now you do. Now you can be easy on yourself, meaning gentle. It doesn't mean you're not going to have to take difficult steps. It doesn't mean you're not going to have to do some things that might feel hard. It just means be gentle with yourself. You're going to get there from here. Just walk the steps, left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot. That's my favorite statement in the whole world, left foot, right foot, because it's all you can do. You can't walk any faster than you can walk. You can't walk any faster than you can move your right foot forward, and then your left foot forward, and then your right foot forward, your left foot forward.
Yeah. Well, I hope our topic today has been stimulating for those listening. I know it was for me, just to get an opportunity each week to process and imagine and try to sort through different ideas and concepts, and being able to articulate them or try to articulate them in a way that create some coherent conversation. But I would encourage people that this topic is of interest to just keep doing what Jim said, was one step at a time, and just be open. But I'd sure love to reinforce this idea that Jim and I agreed on, with metaphysical truly being a better preferred way of experiencing the joy and the just splendor of this experience we're having in this lifetime.
Yep.
Learning how to do that.
And recognizing the things that don't support that.
Yes. Yep. Keep you stuck.
Because that's sometimes what gets us stuck is, or keeps us in the loop, is we neglect to recognize the things that are keeping us from that whole idea of moving forward. But it's good stuff. You know, the whole point of discussing vibration and how to stimulate state change and all that stuff, I know we've talked about in many different podcasts, and you know, it's recognizing that however initially you structure your me time, you know, we like, obviously encourage and support the idea of meditation, mostly because that's what's good, the fastest, quickest, most direct route for just about all of it, meaning understanding and being able to clearly get into the observer, get into that part of yourself that is the larger part of you. That comes through quieting the mind. It comes through finding that place, in that centered place in yourself, and being able to observe. Once you're able to observe, you become less emotionally attached. The less emotional attachment then allows the emotional guidance system to kick in the way that it's designed, which is to show us where we are vibrationally. You know, for me, my emotions are all about showing me how aligned or unaligned I am with the highest part of myself. If I'm going the route of negative emotion, like I did this afternoon, me and my higher self aren't speaking the same language at that moment. We are not on the same page. We're not having the same conversation. So what do I want to do? I want to notice those emotions. I want to observe them and say, oh, how did I get over here? This is not, this is somewhere far away from the connection that I'm familiar with.
Right.
I want to go back to the connection I'm familiar with. How do I do that? Well, back to the observer, observing. Oh, okay. That is a response there. So that's apparently not the right step for me, because that means that me and my higher self aren't thinking the same. So I need to step back, need to get clearer, need to be quiet for a few minutes. I need to find my center again. These are the steps that you take on a regular basis. Sometimes I have to do that 1,000 times a day. You know, I'm exaggerating. But sometimes you got to do it a lot. Sometimes you don't have to do it as much, because, you know, you get the energy sustained. You're able to stay there. And the world doesn't throw too many curves, that you're able to stay in that observer and navigate. And other times stuff slams into your world and you were kind of went, whoa, okay, I wasn't prepared for that. How do I get back up? How do I get back to my centered place? How do I get back to my connected space? So using whatever tools you have, but really incorporating that meditative process, or you know, however you do it, whether you do that as a runner, maybe you like to run and that's where you find your zone. That's all good. But find that organic piece for you so you can start to build the habits. And as you build the habits, they build on each other and they grow and they continue to expand and they become the foundational material that allows you to really expand consciousness in ways, as Jeff was just referring to, that have nothing to do with having to take something or drink something. You can simply put yourself there. And that's pretty remarkable.
It is.
So.
Well, should we call this one a wrap, sir?
Sure. It was a great conversation. I'll leave that last part as a recap. How's that?
Yeah, that was good.
Thank you all for joining us again today on this amazing Adventures in Truth podcast. We say amazing because it's amazing for us, and we hope it's equally as amazing for you. We love discovering what we don't know. We love discovering new things. And speaking to the context of this particular podcast, we are being completely in our vibration in order to connect to the best, most expanded possible information that we can provide given our experience and who we are. And hopefully that touches you and helps you to find your next steps. If you want to see us doing this, you can see us at on our YouTube page, Adventures in Truth Podcast. If you want to listen to us, we have our website, www.adventuresintruthpodcast.com. And we have blogs there and a pretty cool website. And you can see all of our stuff and learn a little bit more about us. But thank you all for being here. Jeff, as always, such a joy to get to spend time with you. And
likewise, Jim.
Have these awesome experiences. So for now, we had a wonderful dive, and we'll see you next time.
Adios.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Adventures in Truth Podcast. If you would like to listen to more or to explore all our offerings, visit us on the web at www.adventuresintruthpodcast.com. We also offer video versions of our podcast. Visit our page on YouTube at Adventures in Truth Podcast. We would love to hear from you. Like, connect, and follow with us on Facebook. Want to book us for your next podcast or to speak at your event? Head over to our webpage at www.adventuresintruthpodcast.com at the bottom of the page and send us a note. Thank you so much for listening. We look forward to seeing you again at Adventures in Truth Podcast.